Hey, everybody, a recap from the very viral event that I did at University of Washington in Seattle, Washington. It's very hopeful update, very hopeful update. And then Will Scharf joins us for an excellent legal series of wins for Donald Trump. We go through Georgia. We go through Jack Smith documents case. We go through Chutkin. We go through New York and more. So email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. That is freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to our podcast. Open up your podcast application and type in Charlie Kirk Show. Become a member today at members.charliekirk.com to get all of our content advertiser free. That is members.charliekirk.com, members.charliekirk.com. Get involved with the most important organization in the country, tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com.
They are counting on your surrender. If you give up, they win. But what if we look back and we realize we were just inches away from victory, and that's when we decided to give up?
Join us and thousands of American patriots for the summer convention that all are invited to.
You're going to hear how we're going to win in 2024.
With the biggest speakers in the movement, featuring President Donald J. Trump.
We're going to fight and we're going to win.
Charlie Kirk, Vivek Ramaswamy, Governor Kristi Noem, Dr. Ben Carson, Steve Bannon, Candace Owens, Lara Trump, Senator Rick Scott, Congressman Matt Gaetz, Benny Johnson, Jack Posobiec, and more. June 14th through 16th.
2024 is our final battle.
In Detroit, Michigan.
The great silent majority is rising like never before.
Join us for the People's Convention.
This is a new ball game, everybody. You send a message. We play to win.
Register now at tpaction.com/peoples.
We will get to the Seattle news from last evening, made national news. But first, let's start with my friend Will Scharf right out of the gate. Will Scharf is amazing. He's running for attorney general in Missouri. But most importantly, he is on Trump's legal team, former federal prosecutor. Will, I was too busy trying to dodge and avoid Antifa yesterday. I was getting news alerts. People were calling me. My phone was blowing up. Charlie, it's a great legal day for Trump. So, Will, explain to me as I was just living under a rock for a day. What happened yesterday? Catch us up, debrief, break it all down. And then there's also the Georgia news. Will Scharf.
Yeah, Charlie, you know, from the start, you've really focused on the timeline, the timing of all of these cases, how they're going to impact the 2024 election. And from that standpoint, today was one of the most important days, or yesterday, excuse me, was one of the most important days we've had in a very long time. The Florida documents case, that's one of the cases brought by special counsel Jack Smith. Judge Cannon pulled the trial date there and basically said that there are so many pretrial motions and so many issues to be resolved that she's not even ready to set a new trial date yet. The chances of that case moving to trial before Election Day, I always thought they were slim. Now they look vanishing. That case is just not going to move on the sort of time frame that Jack Smith wanted. Meanwhile, up in New York, We had what we think was an incredible day for us. We almost got a mistrial in the New York trial. Basically, the judge said that Stormy Daniels was only allowed to testify to certain things. The prosecution elicited testimony that ran straight through those guardrails. We made a motion for a mistrial, and Judge Mershon, who's obviously ruled against us on just about everything, seemed like he was really considering it. We're going to continue challenging various aspects of that case going forward, but I think most legal commentators agree that that New York trial is just going very, very badly for the prosecution, that they haven't been able to prove their case, I believe, because President Trump did nothing wrong, and they don't have any evidence that he did anything wrong. As you alluded to, in Georgia this morning, we got news that the Georgia Court of Appeals is going to consider our appeal to have Fani Willis finally removed from that case. That was an issue that was left open by the trial judge. Now it appears like we may get justice from the Georgia Court of Appeals there. And again, if Fani Willis is kicked off that case, it's just very, very difficult to see how Georgia, which is already moving slowly, could start to move in a way that would impact the 2024 election. So from the standpoint of election interference, this plot to tie President Trump down in court to prevent him from campaigning aggressively, it seems to be failing on all fronts. And we just keep on winning wherever we go.
I mean, this is an extraordinary day. I did miss a lot, Will. Thank you for breaking that all down and debriefing it. So let's go one by one by one. The documents case was actually where a lot of the counts were against Trump. They say he's facing 90 counts. I can't remember, what was it, 40 or 50 of them were actually in the documents case. And also, according to legal minds that I respect, like Alan Dershowitz, he says, look, if I'm just looking at this objectively, of all the stuff that Trump is facing, where they might be able to be ticky-tack is on the procedural document stuff. It was always the one that very well was the one of the more legally challenging one that, to navigate. We now can say confidently that that will not happen before the election. That's huge, Will.
Yeah, I think it would be very, very difficult for that case to suddenly speed up and become electorally relevant. You know, a lot of legal commentators said that that case is strong. I've never agreed with that. What they're trying to prove there is Espionage Act counts. They're trying to prove that President Trump willfully retained documents that he knew that he wasn't supposed to have. What's come out publicly, what's been unsealed in the last week or so, is the fact that many of these documents were actually shipped to President Trump by the Biden administration, by the GSA under the Biden administration, which makes proving mens rea, proving that President Trump had that culpable state of mind there, almost impossible. How are they supposed to show that he knew he wasn't supposed to have these documents when it was the federal government who shipped him the documents in the first place? That and any number of other issues are undermining the factual and legal basis for that case on an almost daily basis. We're starting to see now publicly why Judge Cannon has been so frustrated with Jack Smith and the special counsel's team for months now. Very serious allegations of prosecutorial misconduct now being aired in that case, potential violations relating to the custody of evidence, the way that evidence was maintained after it was seized in the Mar-a-Lago raid. Documents were moved, documents were misplaced, documents were misrecorded. What seemed on indictment day to be a strong case to some now just appears weaker and weaker and weaker by the day. And that's what we've seen in all of these cases, that when they're rolled out, they're sort of covered breathlessly by the leftist media. And then as we actually get into the business of litigating them, they just fall apart under the weight of their own deficiencies. I think that's what we're going to continue seeing in Florida.
Falling apart under the weight of their own deficiencies. I want to throw Cut 71 up on screen here. This image was the image seen around the world. It was at the time, I'm trying to find it actually, on the front page of the New York Times. I'm trying to find it. I remember it was on the front page of the New York Times. I remember it. They've tried to memory hole it. So this image shows all these documents with classified markers. Turns out, in their haste to paint Trump as a criminal, the special counsel concedes that some of the top secret cover sheets do not even match the relevant document. In other words, they created a photo op and it's not even accurate. They lied, they leaked. they smeared just like the Russia hoax, just like the impeachment hoax, just like every other case against Trump. Will, you are a former federal prosecutor. You've had the ability to go to court and to lock bad guys up for a long period of time, and God bless you for that. How would a judge treat you if you treated evidence that way? If you leaked to a media and misrepresenting evidence and trying to smear a defendant, Will Scharf?
Yeah, I mean, if I did some of the things that they've done here in the prosecution of, let's say, a drug dealer in North St. Louis, I'd lose my job, lose my bar license, and maybe even go to prison. I mean, and this goes back to the Carter Page FISA and the Russia collusion hoax. What we've seen here is federal prosecutors and agents, in their haste to get Trump at all costs, run roughshod over normal procedure, over the civil rights of the defendant, in this case, President Trump. They're willing to bend and break every rule in the book if it gets them one step closer to their objective of getting President Trump. And that's just the opposite of the way that prosecutions and investigations are supposed to work. It should be deeply offensive to Americans of all political stripes.
The key is to emphasize, this image was leaked to the press with classified cover sheets on the docs. They weren't found with classified cover sheets. It was a doctored photo. It was a doctored photo for a press political purpose. This should throw out the entire case. These are dirty cops. And Trump has been saying that.
And the prosecution has also repeatedly made representations to the court, to Judge Cannon, about the way that evidence was maintained, the custody of the evidence, how documents were arranged. And those representations, they've now admitted, were false. I mean, this is very, very serious stuff. You cannot play games with evidence. That's like rule number one in terms of prosecution. Very, very serious questions being raised about the ethics of the prosecutors and the rules that they've run roughshod over in their haste to get Trump. It's absolutely outrageous.
Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Most emergencies come without warning. And when the next one comes, you won't have time to pack and prepare. You need to get ready now before an emergency strikes. Your supplies should be ready to grab and go right away. Secure those supplies at MyPatriotSupply.com. Start with a 4-week emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply, helping millions of Americans prepare since 2008. My Patriot Supply are experts in self-reliance. Their 4-week emergency food kit offers 2,000 calories every single day. Protected by heavy-duty 4-layer packaging, these kits last up to 25 years. Sealed inside rugged and handled buckets, they're made to grab quickly. So right now, go to MyPatriotSupply.com. This is the final week to save $50 per kit. They ship fast and they ship free in unmarked boxes. Save $50 per kit at MyPatriotSupply.com and do not get caught unprepared. MyPatriotSupply.com. You are 9 meals away from anarchy. Make sure that your family can be fed in a time of crisis. That is MyPatriotSupply.com. Will, let's play cut 86.
But also, we should note, Special Counsel Jack Smith really has voiced some serious concerns, if not animus, toward this judge.
Yeah, absolutely. And there may come a time when he tries to get her removed from the case. But at this point, that's premature. What Jack Smith knows tonight, though, is that it's very possible that he may not be able to bring either one of his federal cases against former President Trump before the election. And the election is a significant point on the calendar, because if Trump is reelected, he can have Jack Smith and both of his cases dismissed.
Okay, so let's now go to the January 6th case. Did anything that happened yesterday impact the timeline for the Chutkin January 6th case?
No, let me just say first, the reason Jack Smith and his team are ticked off at Judge Cannon is because she's been playing it absolutely by the book. She's been refusing just to railroad President Trump and sign off on their insane timelines. She's handling this case as any normal case would be handled, with all deliberation due to various motions, to various evidentiary issues. And they're getting frustrated because she won't railroad us. But there's no bias there. There's no reason to have her recused. She's just acting exactly how a federal judge should act when dealing with a case like this. With respect to D.C., we have what's called a Coinbase stay, an absolute stay on all trial proceedings, all proceedings preparatory for trial, et cetera, pending resolution of our presidential immunity appeal, which, as you know, is before the Supreme Court right now. in late June, most likely, the Supreme Court will issue an opinion. We feel very, very optimistic about the Supreme Court and how they'll come down. After the Supreme Court issues its judgment, the most likely option, if we get even a partial win there, would be a remand for further proceedings on the immunity issue, which could take many months. Again, the chances of that case going to trial before the election, I always believed were slim. But with the Supreme Court likely to rule the way that we think they will, which is to recognize at least some presidential immunity, the chances of that case making it to trial before Election Day are essentially zero. Even if we were to lose, there's a month-long period between when the Supreme Court rules and when the mandate returns to the trial court. That takes us to mid-late July. Our trial clock, when the stay was first implemented, was it about 3 months? So July, August, September, October. The idea that Chutkan is going to put President Trump on trial a week before Election Day, I just don't think that's real. So the DC case, it's not going anywhere anytime soon. We feel very good about the Supreme Court and where they're at on our immunity issue. And that could easily dispose of large parts of this case. The Supreme Court also has a case before it called Fisher, which is a January 6th case, where if it rules the way many legal commentators think, that could take two of the four charges against President Trump off the table entirely. So that DC case, in many respects, we believe is falling apart. The chance of it moving to trial before the election is very slim. And we feel pretty good about where we're at there.
In closing here, Will, just kind of recap some of the details of what happened with Stormy Daniels taking the stand. This was supposed to be their big star witness. Should there be a mistrial in New York?
Yeah, absolutely. So at the start of the day, Judge Mershon, who again has not been particularly favorable to us, set very clear guardrails on what he was willing to allow Stormy to testify about and things that he didn't want her to testify about. The prosecution ran roughshod over those guardrails. We posed numerous objections over the course of her testimony, many of which were sustained by the court. After the lunch break, we moved for a mistrial based on the fact that the evidence introduced was so prejudicial and so lacking in any probative value that it had essentially infected the proceedings with unfair bias against President Trump. Judge Mershon, to his credit, seemed to consider it quite seriously. He said that he would issue an order tomorrow, likely including some sort of limiting instruction to the jury about what they could and couldn't consider of what she said. But the prosecution really stepped on a landmine yesterday. And again, I think that looking at the totality of the evidence that's been introduced, they're still not close to proving their case. They're still nowhere near proving that President Trump actually committed any sort of business records fraud or any crime at all. So a lot of this is just a smoke and mirror strategy, throw up enough salacious tabloid gossip and hope that the jury is confused by it. It's an outrageous way to approach a case like this. I'm hopeful that the jury sees through all of that in the end.
Will, thank you so much. Excellent work. And we're going to keep our eyes on it. What some great legal victories. And I pray that we have an election that's not going to be tampered with by all this lawfare. Will, thank you so much.
Great to be with you, Charlie. Thank you.
Hey, this is Charlie Kirk, and I know a lot of you have been suffering under the Biden economy. Recently, school loan payments have been reinstated, and for many, it's adding thousands to their monthly expenses. My friends, Andrew Del Rey and Todd Avakian, they're amazing. They really helped me through a tough situation recently. They've been excellent. They're ethical. They're just really great people. They're followers of Jesus Christ, and our worldviews are the same. I love them. And so please go to andrewandtodd.com. Interest rates are coming down, and they may be able to lower your overall payment. In fact, one of our team members said, Charlie, is it time for me to own a home? I sat down. I went through the numbers. I said, get in the owner game. Honestly, enough renting. You are burning your money renting. It might be a little bit more to own, but you're building equity. That's money you'll have for the rest of your life. Perhaps a reverse mortgage is a perfect solution. It's about expertise you could trust in times like this. I can't tell you how helpful they've been for me personally. They've just been excellent. Andrew and Todd, I'm honored to call them friends. We hang out when I go to Orange County together. They're really great. So say, Charlie sent me 888-888-1172. That's 888-888-1172. They helped me through a mortgage situation recently that was super complex and moving pieces, and it was really, really tough. And other banks, by the way, wanted nothing to do with it, and they crushed it for me. 10 out of 10. AndrewandTodd.com. So check it out right now, AndrewandTodd.com. Yesterday was extraordinary. And I first want to just apologize for any of you in the audience that were not able to gain access to our event last night. That is not on me or Turning Point USA. The University of Washington promised us that at least another 500 to 600 people would have been let into that room. And it turns out they just cut off ticketing and they said, oh, the fire code has been reached. And because of that, a lot of people were not able to come into the room. Now let's play some of this B-roll here. The line of people last evening to come into our event in Seattle, Washington was striking. Thousands and thousands of people from all over Seattle were attending a conservative event, and Antifa was there to try and intimidate them, to try and provoke them. You see, this that's the Antifa standing army. They were there with their weapons, doxing private information of journalists, all about free, free, free Palestine. But what was amazing to see is that the patriots that support Turning Point USA, they don't care. Like, oh yeah, there's the lunatics off to the side, the unemployed weed heads. Look at that picture right there. Now, producer Andrew went to the University of Washington. We don't hold that against him. So he knows this area quite well. And we did the event in a space called The Hub. Andrew's like, wow, you're going to do an event in The Hub? That's a really big room. I was like, well, we'll see what happens. We filled that entire room from wall to wall coverage. We had to turn away over 1,000 people, and we had to turn away anywhere between 400 to 500 students. We cannot find rooms big enough to fit all of the students that want to attend our Turning Point USA events on campus. And what was amazing is that, yes, there were a fair amount of students that were curious or even oppositional. But out of that 1,400 person room, of which 1,100 seats were allowed because the university misled us, separate topic, it should be 1,600, but that frustrates. I hate turning people away. It drives me nuts. But it's the new reality we're living in. There's just such pent up enthusiasm. There is such energy and spirit. There's vitality in the conservative movement. Look at this. Look at the lines. This is on a college campus, everybody. A liberal college campus in Seattle, Washington. It is just this incredible B-roll. Looking at the line that just extends forever. Is that I would say that out of the people in the room, 60 to 70% were excited that they could finally applaud for a conservative speaker. It wasn't just that they came to go hear the other side. There were some people that were there, but there was an extraordinary amount of support. I also spent 3 hours on the college campus, just feet away from the encampment. It's very funny. So people were telling me, the experts in Seattle, Charlie's very dangerous. You shouldn't go out there and do an event. You can't do that. You can't go do the event. I said, no, we're going to go do the event. I'm going to go sit out there for multiple hours, 2 or 3 hours, and we are not going to bend a knee to the terrorists that think they can cancel our free speech rights and our ability to organize because they come out with a bunch of umbrellas and they're paid to be there. You might say, but Charlie, why Seattle? You talk about Arizona. You talk about Wisconsin. You talk about Georgia. Why Seattle? Because we must play offense. We have lost so much of America by sitting back and allowing the left to roam free. No more. At Turning Point USA, I'm a little biased, but I believe it's America's most important organization because look at the results. It's unbelievable. We go into enemy territory and we succeed. It's one thing just to show up at University of Washington. Okay. To draw thousands of people, that is their comfort zone. The left has enjoyed a monopoly on these campuses for decades. We are taking the message of liberty into the totalitarian belly of the beast. And the response is amazing. Not everybody necessarily agrees with everything I have to say, but the homogenous, one-size-fit-all left-wing viewpoints that have been dominating college campuses, it's rather boring for a student just to hear that men can give birth and that borders don't matter and that climate change is the most important thing ever. But let me tell you, because I saw it firsthand, and I've been telling you about this all semester. I said, there's something noticeable happening. The young men are rising. Gen Z men are ascendant. And of course, we are seeing the revolution of the broletariat. There's an article that actually says that exactly on piratewires.com, an excellent article, The Revolution of the Broletariat. The amount of young men that were there last night. And I said, young men are the most conservative they've been in 50 years. And they erupt in the room. And they said, yes, we want our country back. Why are the young men so vocal? Why are the young men so energized? They are exhausted and they're done with being blamed for every societal ill simply for existing. Oh, you're a white male? You're the reason why there's so much suffering. Oh, you're a white male? Toxically masculine. Oh, you're a white male? You better not mispronoun me. They've had enough. And they're looking for a counter-revolutionary force. And they found a home in the conservative movement. Let's play cut 91.
Founder and president of Turning Point USA, Charlie Kirk, will be stopping into UW Tuesday night.
We're definitely keeping a close eye on it.
Matthew Chabot is a member of UW's Progressive Student Union. He's been staying within one of nearly 140 tents at this pro-Palestine encampment and is concerned over Kirk's visit.
Charlie Kirk has been instrumental in leading the fight against LGBTQ rights on campuses, on leading the fight against diversity in schools.
While Kirk's presence isn't appreciated by some, it is welcomed by others.
Kirk. Oh, yeah. I'm actually going to go. Yeah. Okay. He's coming tomorrow in the Hub. So I'm actually a big fan of him.
I love it. You had that first guy. He looks like he's rough. Let's just put it this way. I'm not here to insult people's looks. That other guy has made a decision to be ugly. He hasn't washed his hair. He's overgrown, saying nasty things. And the next guy, the media interviews, and you know they don't know which way he's going to go. He's like, oh, yeah, I love the guy. Well-groomed, articulate, ready to roll, ready to fight for the country. It's like, oh, yeah, he's going to be at the Hub. I'll be there. You're living through something generationally transformational. And it's too early to celebrate, but it's not too early to notice and to accelerate. And to encourage. We're not in celebratory phase. You know when we'll be celebratory phase? When Trump says, so help me God. Then we can celebrate. Instead, we're noticing and encouraging and trying to accelerate this trend. And it's happening quicker than anything I could have imagined. I've been doing this work for 11 years. I've never seen responses like this, ever. And by the way, can we get that footage of the frat boys? So while I'm doing a 3-hour Prove Me Wrong event on campus, some of the frat boys kind of walk next to my event because there are 4 overweight Antifa folks. Here it is right here with umbrellas. And the frat boys go up to them and challenge them to a push-up contest. And they don't accept because they're not exactly in good shape. And they formed a line to try and block them. Let's put 93 up. Which way, America, do you want? Choose your fighter. You have this incredible, you know, well-spoken, clean, shaven, articulate, versus this guy who can't even make eye contact, who's accusing me of like not wanting campuses to be diverse, and he's very worried about my visit. Those are 2 different futures right there in front of you. The frat boys rose up to protect our tabling event yesterday. I didn't ask them to do that. We had plenty of security. We also, the police were great, by the way. They were terrific. The frat boys voluntarily went right up into Antifa, and Antifa has a history of being very violent, by the way, and starts taunting them, starts mocking them. And look at these frat boys. They're like, come on, let's go. That is the energy that we need. That is the revolutionary spirit that is being reborn in this country. Going right up into these maniac losers who used to, oh yeah, we run the streets. No, you don't. The men of this country are going to take the streets back. And not in any sort of bad way or violent way, take it back for decency and for virtue and for patriotism. Yesterday at UW in Seattle, we showed how pathetic and lame Antifa has become. They're a bunch of cowards who wear masks and all black to live action role play as revolutionaries. But they're just a bunch of 40-year-old dorks, unemployed with umbrellas, making themselves feel tough because they can walk in formations together. And to be honest, a lot of them were very overweight. Not that there's anything wrong. Like, you should lose weight. But again, there's a lot of people that are overweight that are nice people. But they couldn't sprint 100 yards if they wanted to. So the frat boy said, hey, let's do a push-up contest. You're a racist! Okay, I want to just keep on leaning into this. Just so we're clear, we also had a security guard yesterday who took one for the team. One of our Frontlines journalists. By the way, Frontlines is doing amazing work. We got to do more with Frontlines, having them on the show. It is our citizen journalist project at Turning Point USA. Frontlines at the border, Frontlines at the migrant camps. So one of our security guards here, as you can see, took one for the team as our Frontlines journalist. Just a little brawl and a scuffle that happened there. Look, the left, that all they know is violence because speech to them is a threat. You're not exactly sure what's happened in this video, but there's one of our security guys who got bloodied up by Antifa, just otherwise known as Another Day at the farm in Seattle. Shout out to Dan and the whole team. They did a great job of protecting me. I felt very protected the entire time. I wanted to go into the encampment, but I was told that might result in the evening event being canceled, so we decided against that, but I still wanted to go into the encampment. But understand that that's our security, one of our security guys that we helped with our journalists that got bloodied up by Antifa. Our movement is ascendant. And you are all playing a huge part in that. Some people are asking, Charlie, when is your next event? Detroit, Michigan. Detroit, Michigan, tpaction.com. Get your tickets right now, tpaction.com for the People's Convention. Donald Trump will be there. Vivek Ramaswamy will be there. Biggest speakers in the entire movement. And that last night was the last campus event until the fall. And this fall, I am going to do the most campus events in the shortest period of time than I've ever done. In addition to everything else we're doing. 3 hours of radio, traveling the country. Because I see stuff on these campuses I've never seen before. Turning Point Action will be sponsoring a lot of the campus activities this fall. Because we now need to get this young male energy, the rise of the frat bros. We need to make sure we chase their ballots. We need to make sure that they vote for their future. And it really is a male-dominated deal. I'd say that out of the people that ask, and I want to try to reach young ladies. We have our Young Women's Leadership Summit coming up, just so we're clear, in early June. That's about a month away. We'll have well over 2,500 young ladies from across the country. Megyn Kelly will be there. So we're doing our part to try to reach out with young ladies. But there are trends at times in society. There are trends you can, that you have, you ride, waves you can ride and waves you can't ride. Young ladies, the wave is not in the right-wing direction. We could try to change it, but we are trying to accelerate the trend when it comes to young men. And understand, they want the simple things. I was asked by a socialist revolutionary. They say, well, Charlie, what is your idea of success for the next generation, specifically young men? I say, well, I think they want the simple things. They want to be able to own a home. According to Zillow.com, in 2020, when Donald Trump was president, it required $71,000 a year to buy a home. Now it's over $125,000 a year to buy a home. Secondly, they want to be able to get married. They do not want to be called toxically masculine all the time because they want to have a stable marriage and relationship. And finally, they want to have children. The number one reason why people are not having as many kids as they used to is economics. We have the collapse of the American fertility rate. The fertility rate is collapsing. It is below replacement levels. And so in front of us, we have this amazing opportunity. And now I could tell you, I did campus visits all across the country this semester. In Turning Point USA, we hosted the most events we've ever hosted in the history of Turning Point USA on campus. No group can say what they're doing like Turning Point. And not to mention all the stuff we're doing at Turning Point Action, TPUSA Faith, Turning Point Academy, Blexit, TPUSA Digital. It is full spectrum dominance. From Lawrence, Kansas, to UC San Diego, to Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, to University of Nevada, Las Vegas, to University of Washington, Seattle, to sending the great Candace Owens to University of Alabama. One thing in common. We couldn't find spaces big enough to fit all the students that wanted to attend our events. The support is overwhelming. It's overpouring. Let's accelerate it and make it bigger. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.